right now.
For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Never a dull moment here at the Asylum, Rick. Live from AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRFF.com. Finally, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yeah, and it does not pay to be prepared because we have been down in the Cozy Bunker studio for over an hour getting everything ready. And a minute before we go online, we lost connection. We were off the internet. We were off Blog Talk. And we had all kinds of trouble. And I'm still not in the chat room.
Yeah, he's a little off right there. But we're here. We're glad to be here. It's the Tuesday Night Blitz on what we're going to call a filler Tuesday, Rick, is what it's going to be.
This is an action-packed show. We've got all kinds of things going on. And I tell you what, I tell you one thing.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to cover something right now.
Okay.
You know,
we haven't finished the intro yet. Do you want to do that, or do you want to?
Oh yeah, if you want to ask any questions, we will answer all, and we'll read the best ones on the air as we go on. If you have any fantasy questions, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter. Big thanks to Jim Day at Fantasy Taz last week for being on the air. Seen a big jump in our followers. If you're not following yet, shame on you. At Asylum Football on Twitter.
Yes, indeed, and we're right in the middle of. A draft match, a draft with Jim and a whole bunch of other experts. We're about, I think, round 7, I believe, something like that. And
a slow draft.
It's a good one. And what else? I mean, well, God, we're in early bird with Shane Hallam.
Yes, and we can also be heard recorded 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the Rock. You can tell, Rick, we may be a little disjointed here now all of a sudden.
Well, you know, you start scrambling around trying to get online.
I've never seen you move that fast. Now, anyhow, you were pointing and about to make a point, so go right ahead and do that.
Well, we're sitting here in beautiful western Pennsylvania, and I'm telling you, I have been in... Yeah, literally 110 degree heat, muggy.
You are a noted gypsy, as we've learned on this show.
Wicked thunderstorms. I've actually been hunting in 12, 13 below zero. But I'll tell you what, this weather today is about as foul as it gets. It is like 33 degrees. It is coming down sheets of rain, 20, 25 mile an hour winds. It is just miserable.
And yet we sit here stunned wondering why we lost internet connectivity. That may have a little something to do with it. So that might not be the last problem we have tonight.
Well, we can only hope that it is.
All right. Well, let's talk about, Rick, what we got coming up on the show tonight. Something, I'll tell you what, we haven't done in, it feels like months since the playoffs anyhow, since the regular fantasy football season ended. Time to hit some highlights. Things starting to get rolling. Free agency coming up. Some cuts. Some interesting things going on over the last few weeks. I think we need to get caught up on all of that and look at the fantasy implications.
Definitely.
And the moment everyone's been waiting for well on a year now. We have the inductees of the second class, the 2013 class of the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. Which, Rick, I might note, I wanted to tell you this before we went on the air. I was just curious, and I Googleized Fantasy Football Halls of Fame. It appears, now I'm not good with the intranet, it appears we're the only one
out
there.
We are the original, and it's ours.
Yeah.
So just, you heard it here first.
Absolutely.
I've looked on it myself, researched it. There is not one. There is one now.
That's right.
And it is in the asylum. It's the only one.
It's the best one. The two of the three potential, well, one of the three, you'll see when we get there. We have some of the inductees here prepared to give a speech. They're excited. They have the yellow coats on. We stole that directly from Canton, literally stole the coats from Canton.
But they are a little shy, so I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Well, we'll get them on microphone when that time comes. They didn't want to be a part of the whole show. Excuse me. So, Rick, let's jump right into it. Some news. First story I have here. I'm curious what you think of this, more in how it applies ties to one Larry Fitzgerald. Cardinals looking actively to make a trade for Alex Smith. Certainly an upgrade from everything they have in Arizona. Good enough to, you know, he was good enough last year to hold together a good team. Is he good enough to go somewhere like in Arizona and turn a team around? That's what I'm curious about with Alex Smith.
He's also been courted by or interested in, at least I think, by Kansas City as well, and is actually talking to Shane Hallam, who's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, about the impact on Dwayne Bowe fantasy-wise, just with Alex Smith. I like him a whole lot better.
Where does Dwayne Bowe end up, though? I mean, we have a story about him
as
we go down.
I'm thinking Kansas City still pays him and keeps him. But, no, Arizona is very interesting. It is the most abysmal quarterback situation I have seen in years. I can't even think of such horrid, quote-unquote, talent in that position for an entire team.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about it top to bottom, just awful play. I can't think of a team. I'm sure people can start naming them and hit us up, asylumfootball@gmail.com or at asylumfootball on Twitter. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see exactly – you know, what other situations are out there, but this is a bad one. Again, the question is Alex Smith good enough to make a difference?
I think he is. I think he was leading the league in pass efficiency when he lost his job. Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have dynamic numbers. However, you're not losing football games. You have talent like Larry Fitzgerald out there. You know what that guy can do. He caught 92 balls, I think, 2 years ago, and that was with Mr. Skelton and some of Mr. Cobb, who have digressed even worse than what they were before. And they need a running game desperately. There's no question about that. And maybe
Beanie Wells and Ryan Williams the answer?
No. I mean, they haven't been the answer yet. So, and they need to beef that offensive lineup a little bit. Look, the defense is there. There's no question about that. I think they got wore down last year somewhat. But if it stays relatively in place and they upgrade a quarterback, that's a whole different team.
Yeah, no question about it. So Alex Smith, interesting to see. I believe them in Kansas City, probably the two most actively seeking quarterbacks, no question about it. So moving on, I think this is a big story come out not too long before we went on air, come on this afternoon. Steven Jackson chooses to void the final year of his contract, going to become a free agent. So two conversations to have here, Rick. I guess it's way too early to speculate where Steven Jackson lands, but if he lands in the right spot, is he still fantasy relevant? And then what of the Rams running situation?
Well, I don't know. I guess part A of that question, Steven Jackson's 30, and he's looking for big money. I don't think he's going to get it, quite frankly. And who's going to pay the big money for Steven Jackson that doesn't have a running back? The Cardinals desperately need a running back. I do not think he'll go to a division rival. He's going to be an upgrade for a lot of teams, but are they willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you one team that I would think he would be a real interesting fit is Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah, there's a team looking for
not a super workload for him. Super heavy. You know, he is getting 30 years old. I think Cedric Benson's a free agent. That's an upgrade in talent right there, at least for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's an interesting place for him. Hadn't considered Green Bay, and that would make sense because I think it would need to be somewhere where his carries would be limited, either in a split with another talented back or somewhere like Green Bay where you're running the ball somewhat infrequently. 30 years old, which we all know that's the magic drop-off for running backs. And not only 30 years old, how many years was he the only game in town in St. Louis? In the years in his career, exactly 2,395 carries in his career. Last few years has had trouble staying healthy. You wonder how much he has left in the tank. But I think in short bursts in the right situation, you know, this would be a stash on your bench, a bye week kind of guy. And who knows, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle one more year and you could get some fantasy relevance out of him. Not a high-round pick like he was years ago. But I think still relevant.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And it just, like you said, it depends on the situation. You know, there's rumors Michael Turner may be cut. And there goes another guy out there that somebody may, maybe another bench stasher as well. But, but part B of that question, you know, who comes up? You know, Darrell Richardson, Isaiah Pede. I think it's Richardson all the way, quite frankly. And as a matter of fact, in that Fantaz league that we were in, I picked up Daryl Richardson in the seventh round. I believe he's going to be the guy in St. Louis.
Yeah, interesting. You have Pede, you have Richardson. Some debate there. It was funny. I was reading the stories, kind of trying to see what St. Louis thought about it. I saw two back-to-back headlines. I believe it was on CBS Sports. One where Fisher says, I believe Richardson's the guy, and one that says, I believe Pede could be the guy. So I think it's going to be hard to speculate right now.
Which tells me that it's Richardson's job to lose.
Yeah, it very well could be. And I saw the debate you were having on Twitter with somebody this afternoon talking about what the split had been when Jackson was out. And Jackson got a lot of carries last year, but it was, what, 90-10 Richardson. And to my knowledge, Pede was healthy the better part of the year. So I think Richardson had just won out that number two job. Now, is he a number one guy? Time's going to tell. But I think both of these guys, unless something becomes really clear over the summer, which it could, they're probably both draft and stash kind of players.
Yeah, it could be. And like you said, it just depends. Coming out of training camp, there may be a clear-cut number one. We don't know that yet, but you just have to watch that, see what happens with Jackson, and monitor the training camp with the Rams, because potentially could be a real good back coming out of St. Louis.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, good Lord, I am stumbling all over the place. Coach Fisher, you know, known for his running game back to the Eddie George days, likes to run the ball. I could see somebody, the offense, not an awful offense, really started to turn the corner last year. Sam Bradford, you saw what Amendola did. They are starting to move the ball a little bit. You know Fisher will ride a running back if you can land on the right one. Could be a very fantasy legitimate back.
No doubt. Big question mark on the Rams there is, can Danny Amendola stay healthy?
Can he stay healthy? And will he be there going into next year? Do they have – I saw, which I thought was funny, they signed Titus Young. He shows up for one day and they cut him again. What's it tell you about? What do you do when you just show up and hang out at the facility to get cut?
Actually, I guess he had a couple of days of face-to-face meetings with Jeff Fisher. And I believe Jeff Fisher just decided he wasn't not a fit for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Apparently probably still an attitude issue. A shame, one of those kids, all the talent in the world, just doesn't seem like he's going to make it in the NFL.
Well, just ask him. He's just as good as Calvin Johnson.
Well, who isn't? I mean, if you ask me, I'm just as good as Calvin Johnson, torn ACL and all. So maybe not quite as good, but I'm right up there.
I knew you were going to have to bring in your injury.
I'm feeling bad for myself here. I'm about to go under the knife. I may, for our 100th episode extravaganza, may be doing it from rehab or something, and not the kind of rehab you used to go to in the 60s, like physical rehab.
I never went to rehab. That's for quitters.
So we'll leave that one go. New England Patriots discussing cutting Brandon Lloyd. Probably not a big surprise. Has a $3 million option going into next year. I'll tell you what, this is a guy, we spent a lot of time talking about him last summer, and he was a 50-50 split on what he could do. I think we were a little down on him, so I guess we'll go ahead and say we were right about that one.
You know I was, that's for sure.
Boy, if you can't succeed in that offense, and I know it's really run through the tight ends and run through Wes Welker, but a good threat on the outside. I was really disappointed in what the output we got from Brandon Lloyd this year.
Yeah, and Tom Brady just signed a cap-friendly 3-year extension worth $27 million.
Maybe the Wes Welker saver right there is sort of my first thought on that deal.
Very possible, and being Mr. Brady, I don't think I'd want to lose Wes Welker for the last couple of years of my career.
No, and I'll tell you what, being Mr. Welker, I don't think I want to lose Tom Brady for the rest of my career.
No.
I don't see him, should he leave New England, in the role he plays in any other offense, I don't see that working. Even named top quarterbacks, let's say, and this wouldn't happen, but you know, I'm sitting here staring at a Steelers coat here. In the Pittsburgh offense, that's not the way they run their offense. This is what the Patriots do, and I think Welker needs Brady, and Brady needs Welker.
I agree 100%. I could see maybe the Packers utilizing him. Aaron Rodgers seems to be that smooth and natural with the timing routes.
Mm-hmm.
But until that, you know, chemistry is worked up between the two, I don't see him being anything all that effective.
Yeah, I mean, those two just do it instinctively is how they do it. Half the time I don't think these plays are even being called. So both guys needing each other. I think Tom Brady doing that deal frees up some room, keeps Wes Welker in there and keeps that offense rolling. This one I found interesting, Rick, and we had a lot of debate on him last year after a great year two seasons ago. Last season, it's about the best I could say about him. But Reggie Bush going to be a free agent, not looking like Miami's going to bring him back. Lions interested in Reggie Bush, which I find interesting. LeSure really seemed to turn the corner last year, started to look a little fantasy relevant in spots. Reggie Bush to Detroit and Reggie Bush out of Miami. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think maybe Detroit might be a decent fit. You know, he's a tough guy to follow. I mean, he really is. He was so ho-hum in New Orleans. He goes to Miami, you know, well over 1,000 yards that year there. And then last year,
Yeah.
And you just don't know what to do. And he basically stayed fairly healthy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He banged up a little bit, but nothing real severe. And, you know, he's one of those guys you got to keep your eye on, but you can't pay too high for him.
No, and you move him to a place like Detroit where once you bring him in there, I think he's going to be splitting time. Although he had some fair years, not good years, but some fair years in New Orleans, sort of being that third down, catching the ball out of the backfield, being sort of a jack of all trades. I think wherever he lands, he's going to have some fantasy relevance. But he's not a top 24 guy. He's not an every week start, maybe a low end flex, a bye week kind of guy. And really, I like the Detroit offense and what you see running backs do in that offense when it's clicking well. But I don't know how Reggie Bush fits into that mix.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I don't know if this is really relevant anymore. There's so many domes around, but you put them in the AFC North. Maybe you're outside playing Chicago in December, Green Bay, maybe a few other cities, you know, different schedules when you're in the AFC or the NFC South. You're playing even in Carolina and Atlanta. It's warm down there all the time. And, I don't know how much effect that would have on them either.
Yeah, it's hard to say. And then you look at now in Miami, assuming Reggie Bush leaves, they're already saying Lamar Miller, it's going to be his job to lose. That'll be interesting. It's such a woeful offense. You wonder, you know, we didn't see much of him. We don't know a whole lot about Lamar Miller. How does he fit into the offense? Again, obviously fantasy relevant. If he's a starting running back for an NFL team, you're going to have him on your team, and you wonder the kind of success he can have, as terrible as that offense was last season.
Yeah, although it did have a few bright spots here and there with Brian Hartline coming, who may not be a Dolphin next year.
Yeah.
But other than Hartline, what do you have? You have Devon Best, and there's just not much there.
And it's all downhill from there, although a lot of talk on Mike Wallace being linked with Miami, looking more and more like he's not coming back to the Steelers. Cleveland and Miami being the front runners for him. I'll tell you what, both bad offensive situations, both mediocre quarterbacks at best. You wonder, does a Mike Wallace build up a team like this, or do teams like these drag Mike Wallace down?
I think that Mike Wallace is Mike Wallace. He's going to be fast.
No.
Listen to what you're trying to say. I mean, he's a one-trick pony as far as I'm concerned still.
Yeah.
He's not this huge
playmaker. A pretty damn good trick, though.
Well, he can run and stretch the field. However, you have to have a quarterback that's got the gun and the accuracy to get it to him, because as you can see with Pittsburgh over the years, he gets open sometimes, but he's covered a lot as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a bad team, that's a whole lot different than being on a good team.
And I worry less about a quarterback being able to get the ball to him deep. I like to believe that if you've got one of those 32 starting quarterback jobs in the entire world, you can get the ball deep. Are you good enough to pick somebody apart underneath to open up this stuff deep where they don't just roll a safety and double cover? Look, Mike Wallace is faster than everybody, but if you roll a safety 25 yards downfield, he's never truly going to be open.
You're right.
Doesn't have the greatest hands. He's got to be open to make a catch. I don't think I've ever seen him make a catch in traffic. So that's what I worry about for Mike Wallace in terms of his fantasy value going to these other teams. If you don't have a quarterback that strikes any fear into you outside of the deep threat, an NFL defensive coordinator can take the deep threat away from you real fast.
Oh, there's no doubt. And we saw that scenario play out last year, him looking for Larry Fitzgerald money, not showing up at training camp, and then he quite frankly, he blew any chance at big money with the performance he had last year.
He played fine but had the drops, didn't make those plays downfield. And to be fair, the Steelers' offense just was woful
and
this year.
And to be fair, Dez Bryant had his share of drops as well. Yeah. Maybe Wallace will turn the corner and all of a sudden, you know, he's raring to go. That's one thing. I just don't have as much faith in him. I like the bigger guys myself.
Yeah.
If it's not Wes Welker in the New England system, give me a Dez Bryant, a bigger guy that can get up, got the big hands any day of the week.
Yeah, no question about that.
I saw the Steelers showed a little interest in Steve Breston, who was out of Kansas City, not coincidental Todd Haley, who had him in Arizona and Kansas City. You know, in Pittsburgh, you're looking at him among some other teams. I don't really see that as real significant. Another Jericho Cotri.
Well, probably better than that. But here's what's interesting as you look at the Steelers receiving corps coming off of talking about Mike Wallace. Well, not necessarily performing as one, basically the number one wide receiver in that offense. So now Mike Wallace is gone. So two questions here. Is Antonio Brown a number one? I think that's the first thing you talk about, and that's a fantasy debate you can have as well. Without that deep threat, without Mike Wallace there, with the change in this offense, Antonio Brown's numbers down last year. Is Antonio Brown a number one wide receiver? Let's start with that before we get into Breston.
I tell you what, that is a discussion we had with Patrick Johnson last year. You know, where everybody was high on Antonio Brown. And he said he was a product of Mike Wallace stretching the field, you know, getting number two and three coverage while Wallace took the brunt of the coverages. I don't know if he is the guy, quite frankly.
Yeah, so here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you don't have a clear number one. You got Emmanuel Sanders, has showed some flashes. It's about all I can say for him. Kid looks like he's got a lot of talent. But is he a slot guy? So then you talk about bringing a Breston in, and not only have they showed interest, I believe it was Pete Prisco today said that's more than likely where he's going to land, and Haley's a big fan of him. And he had some success, and I remember him being fantasy relevant. He was starting on fantasy teams.
Well, Kurt Warner's offense.
Well, yeah. Kurt Warner's offense. But the other thing, those teams you had Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, he was the number three slot guy. I see three number three slot guys on this Steelers team, so you don't know what's going to emerge out of this.
True. Plus, you have Heath Miller that really came on last year as well.
Is he back? It could be ugly beginning of the year for Steelers.
Could be ugly,
fans.
Could be beautiful. We don't know yet.
Yeah. So, Breston, it'll be interesting. It's something you'll have to watch. Obviously, has something going with Todd Haley there, somebody Haley be comfortable with. Look, he's a talent. He's speed. I just don't know what it looks like all put together. That'll be interesting to see. Moving on, you brought up Dwayne Bowes named earlier. Good God,
earlier,
struggling.
Yes.
Yeah, his name earlier. Saw a little note out there in something, and I think we talked about this a lot, at least dance around it, but their team worries about, and this is in quotes, decreased effort level from Dwayne Bowe. If there's not a kiss of death in professional athletics, it's got to be that. Worried about a decreased effort level. What do you make of that? If he stays in Kansas City, if he goes somewhere else, even with a good offense, if a guy's been tagged like this, do you ever come back from that?
Certainly don't know any inside stories on that. He always appears to be in good shape. He certainly has great talent. I think he's a lot like Vincent Jackson. I don't know if he needs a change of scenery, but he certainly needs somebody that can throw the football.
Well, that would definitely be a good start.
Well, you know, I mean, there's guys that are out there that really need that. And then there's guys like Larry Fitzgerald who goes to work, does his job. You don't hear a whole lot. I mean, look, if there's a guy to be complaining, it's Larry Fitzgerald. And you don't hear that from him. And I'm not, you know, touting Larry Fitzgerald, however he
well, I think seems, you can tout
well,
because everything
you know what
you're
saying
is correct.
It's not about him. It's a contrast. Vincent Jackson seemed to be aloof and separated at San Diego. He seemed to really bring that offense together in Tampa Bay last year. I think it was a whole change of attitude, certainly a change in coaching styles between Norv Turner and Schiavone.
No,
so,
certainly.
I mean, you know, maybe, you know, there's so many nuances of really what reaches a guy. I don't know. Maybe it is a change of scenery that would just do him a world of good.
Yeah, it's possible. I worry about a guy, and I'm no expert watching a game. I've never been in a locker room. This is a conversation I wish we could have with a Patrick Johnson who's been there. But it seemed to me in watching games, and as a guy who was a Dwayne Bowe owner in every fantasy league, he seemed to fall to me in the sixth, seventh round all season, thought I was getting the steal of the draft in every one of them. I probably opened my pie hole on this on these very airwaves about it time and time again, I'm certain. And so in watching him specifically with interest, it did seem he seemed a bit disinterested. It was probably more disgust. But back to your point with Larry Fitzgerald, no one's ever been in a worse situation, as much talent as Larry Fitzgerald, in a worse quarterback situation. And you didn't see that. You didn't see the give up. You see it in Dwayne Bowe, and you could tell there was an attitude issue. I just wonder, to your point, Vincent Jackson, his stuff was more realistic. These just weren't things whispered about. They're stuff we saw Vincent Jackson. Maybe he can come back from it. What I think, though, is, regardless of the quarterback situation, if this is the thought and if the Chiefs believe this, it's nothing you can turn around in Kansas City. It's going to require a change of scenery.
Yeah, it could be. It'll be interesting to see this play out. There's no doubt about it. I mean, like you said, with Vincent Jackson, yeah, he's already shaking that.
Yeah, yeah, you forgot about it this
year.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about
it. He kept his mouth shut and he caught, 70, 80 balls, whatever he ended up with. Kept his mouth shut.
20 yards of reception.
Went on to have a fantastic fantasy season. Maybe Dwayne Bowe does this. I know there was a lot of talk at the trade deadline of him being moved to Buffalo. Even in Buffalo, it could be interesting there. As bad as that offense is, they can air the ball out a little bit. Ryan Fitzpatrick, to go along with his 7 interceptions every week, usually throws for 350. Stevie Johnson put up fair numbers, put up decent numbers.
Over 1,000, yeah.
Number low-end 2, high-end 3 receiver numbers, not what you expected out of them from what you saw 2 years ago. But that could be an interesting combo. Could be anywhere. I worry when a guy gets tagged as decreased effort level, that doesn't sound good to me.
No, it doesn't as far as that goes. However, I'm going to draft him. You know, the closer we get to the real draft days, July and August, you're going to have a lot better feel of what's going on with him. And you'll know whether or not you're going to be getting him in the 4th or 5th round, or you're going to avoid him like the plague. I don't know.
Yeah, no question about it. So something interesting to watch there. Last thing I have down here, Rick, and we really hit on it a little bit last week with Jim Day, a.k.a. Fantasy Taz, but offensive coordinator in Philly, Shermer, says, you know, McCoy, Bryce Brown, the split carries this season. Any fear in that? I know one of these drafts we were doing, I believe it was the Draft Masters 18, we're doing with Fantasy Taz. Yeah, I had to be the 9th, 10th pick. I'm blanking on exactly where I was at, but I was low in the first round. McCoy fell to me. Yeah, I did a little hand-wringing, but I ended up taking him there. What do you see the split being? Do you have? I guess you're not going to know what the split's going to be. You have any fear taking LeSean McCoy going into next season?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know what to expect from Philadelphia. They've been hyped the last 2 years as a dream team and Super Bowl contenders and this, that, and the other, and certainly didn't deliver even close to anything what expectations were. Sometimes I worry a little bit about McCoy's health, but
start to see concussion issues these days.
That's
a real issue.
But he has slipped in my rankings, which I'm going to be posting on AsylumFantasyFootball.com soon, the preseason running back rankings. He has certainly fallen. I mean, he was obviously one of the trilogy last year.
Yeah.
You know, the top 3.
He was a clear number 3.
I got him top 10, but he's not top half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's fallen a little bit, and he's a little worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could certainly move back up the top 3 to 5 before the season starts.
If he's declared to be the starter. Now, if we're still talking the split, and what's the split going to be? And that, you're probably not going to know till the season starts. You know, one thing I find interesting, you know, Taz made the point last week. Brown, for 2 games, looked like a world beater, then sort of come back to earth. And my other fear with him, that kid, even in his good games, kept putting a rock on the ground. and that will get you out of a role, reduce your carries. I don't care where you're playing, for what team you're playing, for what coach you're playing. That'll cut your role, if not eliminate your role real quick.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I almost had to clarify myself. You asked about worrying. Now, I guess the original question, worrying was splitting with Brown. I'm certainly not worried about McCoy losing work to Brown because I don't think there's a comparison of the two.
No.
You know, as
no.
far as that goes, you know, I don't think the split is because of that. I would think only due to health reasons, the team just not that good is the only reason it would affect his ranking with me. No, I don't think he's even a threat to take, you know, other than breather carries away from McCoy. I see no threat from him, to be honest with you.
And I'll tell you the other thing that makes me feel better in researching this and getting ready, and when I drafted him in that draft recently, Chip Kelly being brought in as a head coach. You look at that Oregon offense. Now, look, that offense isn't going to work in the NFL. It's going to have to change to a degree. But last year with that high-flying offense, with that high-scoring offense they have, Chip Kelly's Oregon team averaged 28 passes a game, 52 runs a game. Now, I'm going to grant you the other side of that's going to be that a lot of those 52 runs a game were the quarterback running the ball, which, again, may bode well for Michael Vick if he can stay
right.
healthy. But if you're looking, all right, 28 and 52, so that's what, basically two-thirds, 65% of his offense is going to be running the ball. Go ahead and split it. I want you to split it because McCoy's not going to finish the year running the ball that much.
Yeah, and extending on a point that we were talking, as you brought up with Jim Day last week, you know, a point well taken about C.J. Spiller. You get LeSean McCoy 200 carries, he can still do a lot of
damage.
You're
right. He could still be a 1,200, 1,300-yard
right.
guy, find the end zone a lot, with especially his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. So I agree he's slipping a little bit. I wonder, though, how –
or does he come back with a vengeance?
Does he come back with a vengeance? And how much of it is his role going to stay the same and he's going to do what LeSean McCoy does? But you go back looking at the way we ranked him last year, obviously we weren't talking about Adrian Peterson, who's the clear number one. Until August 31st, none of us had ever heard the name Alfred Morris before. Some of these guys that are creeping ahead of him, C.J. Spiller, looked at as the number two in a split, and now I think that's reversed, and you see him getting the bulk of the carries there in Buffalo. These are guys, I don't think what McCoy's going to do is change him much. You just have guys leaping above him with their roles in the offense and their abilities. I still think McCoy probably comes out being top seven or eight guy.
Yeah,
I see having him ranked 10, 11 right now.
Yeah, and it's probably not fair to compare him to Spiller because, let's face it, comparing Spiller and Jackson, Spiller has emerged as the better back. Bryce Brown hadn't done that.
No,
he had two games.
It's
still LeSean McCoy's job.
And he ran for 180 yards, got in the end zone three times, and we put the ball on the ground three times, too.
Right.
So, and that's what's going to shut it down, I think, instantly.
Yeah. And then with free agents talking, I guess we hit on just about all the top talent at wide receiver other than Greg Jennings. We failed to mention on him. We don't know where he's going to be.
I haven't even heard speculation of anyone talking to him yet.
I haven't either. Health concerns, there's no doubt about that.
I'll tell you what, from a fantasy perspective, assuming he ends up in the right situation, I'll be happy to take this guy and where are we seeing him go in these mocks now. And it's going to depress his value not knowing where he's at when you're drafting ridiculously in February like we all are right now. But I'll tell you what, he's sitting around 6th, 7th, 8th round. I've seen a lot. You know, unless he's in Arizona or Miami, somewhere like that, I'll be more than happy to grab this guy. Have him as a low end two, or definitely as my three, or a guy on the bench looking for a flex spot. There's a lot of talent in this kid.
Oh yeah, there's no question about that. And there's a lot of talent at running back, free agents. We hit on Reggie Bush. You know, let's not forget Rashard Mendenhall, 25 years old, still a lot of talent there. You got 26-year-old Ahmad Bradshaw. Now we know he's got the foot injuries, but he's a gamer and he's always performed well. Fantasy-wise.
Here's my concern with Ahmad Bradshaw. I forget where I saw him being interviewed or if I read this. I don't remember where I got this information. However, you look at Ahmad Bradshaw and they were talking to him. He's saying, obviously, what you're supposed to say. I'd like to come back to the Giants, even with Wilson and Brown there. I think I could still contribute to that team. Another team I've been kicking around in my head is the Jets, so I don't have to move.
And
woeful as the Jets are, when they step right up and say, whoa, no, 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 we don't need you here.
Right.
We'll go ahead and be happy with Sean Green. That makes me worry a little bit about Ahmad Bradshaw and what his future is going to be.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't have any worries. Someone's going to pick him up.
Oh, no question about it. But what's his role going to be?
And what's his foot issue going to be? I mean, these are all the things. And sometimes it is a little early to be speculating in February. We had that screw put in his foot. We don't know what the situation is, if it's healing properly and so forth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to monitor training camp. But I think someone's going to pick him up. But now he's leaving a pretty potent Giant offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you go out of that situation. I wonder what happens. Another name I'm finding interesting, Rick, now some speculation, and I'm curious, we'll play the what-if game. There's a certain running back out there who I can't stand, who's gotten a lot of run on this show. You might remember his name. Can you come around again and say, baby, I miss you? Do you know who we're talking about?
Yeah. Remember how that lasted
for a day? But D'Angelo Williams, for new listeners to the show, this is his theme song, Long Story. Go back and listen. There's a picture of Taylor on our website. Go ahead and click on that link. However, talk now that he may stay in Carolina. Hold on. All right, I do that just to make Rick mad at this point.
And it succeeds every time.
Well, if you wouldn't get so angry, I wouldn't have to do it. But D'Angelo Williams, if he stays in Carolina, I think the role stays the same. He is who he is, and him and I are never, ever, ever getting back together like ever, as our girl Taylor would say. In a different situation, we saw what he did in a year or two stretch there. He won me a fantasy championship one year, if you recall, him and Chris Johnson. If he goes elsewhere in the right situation, is this guy good enough to be an every down back and be that superstar he was real briefly in 2009, I believe it was?
I think D'Angelo, granted he's had lighter workloads than a lot of running backs, but I think he's 31 or 32 this year.
But it's been lighter.
It has been lighter. But, Fred Jackson's load hasn't been that heavy. He suffered some injuries. He's 32.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't trust when they start getting that age. Now, let's face it. He's got a lot of salary.
Well,
he signed that big deal.
That's a big part of it, too, yeah.
Are they going to keep both of them? I mean, Jonathan Stewart can certainly get the job done.
Yeah, that's the way a lot of guys, going back to last week, you know, Jim's high on this guy, on Jonathan Stewart, getting all the carries. You know, okay, so let's fine. Let's say we just accept that as fact. If D'Angelo stays, you're going to see that same split. What I'm curious of, if he goes elsewhere, what do you see from the guy? It'd be interesting. Could he go somewhere, be a number one? There's plenty of teams that need a running back. Could he go somewhere and put it back together? Or was that just a flash-in-the-pan thing? This guy's good in short bursts, and otherwise he's just a general waste of space from what I've seen.
It's been, you know, we should actually really sit down and think.
Man, we're not very good at that.
Sitting
we're good at, thinking it's a kind of a weak spot for
okay, us. But no, we hit on it. Reggie Bush is a free agent. Maude Bradshaw is a free agent.
Right.
Rashard Mendenhall is a free agent.
Okay.
Cedric Benson's a free agent.
Okay.
Out
of that list, my first pick is D'Angelo Williams, I think. If I have a team and this is the
Sean
list.
Sean Green.
Okay.
I'm trying to hit on everything here. Of course, then you have some other guys, Felix Jones, Peyton Hillis, Danny Williams,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Now, okay, you're a team, I don't know what your cap room situation is. D'Angelo Williams, I think, carries a lot more load on your cap room.
Well, but if he gets cut, the contract goes away, assuming they're going to cut him. They're going to have to cut
him.
Well,
that's
true.
He's not a free agent.
Yeah, you're not going to trade for him. We're assuming he's going to be cut, but now I think they're talking about reworking his deal is what they're talking about. I don't like that. At that point, he's persona non grata to me. Somewhere else. That list of names you listed.
Talent-wise, I think you're right. He's
the best
probably
the
one
first
of the
one on there. Not a long-term solution. If I'm looking for something more long-term, it's probably Sean Green, maybe Mendenhall. I worry about his health a little bit. But you're talking a bunch of older guys, short-term, putting him up against Benson. putting him up against Reggie Bush. Short term, I think I like D'Angelo Williams better.
I think I do, too. And I'll be honest with you, short term, Cedric Vince is not a bad guy.
He's not always, for a year.
He's always been productive.
In a grinded out role like he was.
Of course, he's coming out off the Liz Frank. We have to monitor that.
Whatever
of
Liz Frank is.
Well, I believe we did half a show on that. Go back and listen to that one, too. But
if you haven't listened to these shows, shame on you. That doesn't sound any good at all. I remember you reading that and being disgusted the entire time.
But I don't know. We just had to monitor all that. Yeah, D'Angelo Williams, I think, could be. Like you said, he is most talented one of that bunch, and it depends on where he lands.
All right, I really think. Before we move on, you brought up his name.
Okay, here's another guy. Let's talk about Chris Ivory. This guy could be talk about being fantasy gold.
But is New Orleans going to let him out of their kung fu grip? Is what I worry about. Yeah, Ivory, but again, but we've seen it in preseason. We've seen it a carry or two here and there. Can he handle the load? But get back to Rashard Mendenhall. Let's assume he doesn't go to the Steelers. Even in general, is this guy going to have a successful NFL career? Is he ever going to live up to that number eight overall pick he was in 2011? I'm not seeing it.
I don't think he's going to live up to that. I think he may have a productive career.
Yeah.
Superstar, you know, career, Hall of Fame career. No, I don't believe so. I don't think he's going to have the health to do that. I don't even think he has the head for it.
That's
frankly
the biggest, one of the bigger concerns with him.
But he's 25 years old, and look, the guy's got talent. In the right situation, he could be a productive back.
Think in a situation where they throw to the running back. You go back to his Ohio State days, and the Steelers just don't do that. You see a little more of it with Haley, but still not enough. You put him in an offense. Now, this isn't going to happen, but an offense similar to the New Orleans offense where you're using your running back as a receiving threat. That's where this guy could thrive, and he hasn't been in that situation yet. Although, I'm not convinced he's not a Steeler next year. If you're the Steelers, are you going to? They're all free agents, but are you going to hang your hat on Jonathan Dwyer? Are you going to hang your hat on Redmond or Mendenhall? If you got to pick one of the three, which I think you almost do have to pick one of the three and then draft a guy third, fourth round where these running backs tend to come out of that end up having good careers. Out of those three, if the money's right, and I wouldn't think his price tag would be real high right now, out of those three, I think it's still got to be Mendenhall.
I think you're right. I think it's Mendenhall, Dwyer, Redmond, quite frankly.
Probably in that order. I like keeping Redmond around as a third down goal line kind of back, but to be an every down player, none of those guys short of Mendenhall are that guy.
No, I agree.
All right, Rick, well, we don't want to give him short shrift. We've only got 15 minutes left in this show. We might run over. It is time for the 2013, the second annual class of the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. Without further ado, we better get to inducting somebody.
I think you're right. There's our boy there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, Rick, maybe real quick go over for any new listeners we have, the criteria, what we were looking for, maybe a list of the candidates, something like that real quick.
Yeah, we put out, we contact a lot of experts and podcast show hosts and so forth to vote in our Hall of Fame election. We came up with a potential class, and it was O.J. Simpson, Jamal Lewis, Jim Taylor, Priest Holmes, Eric Dickerson, John Riggins, Curtis Martin, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Chris Carter, Jerry Rice, Lance Allworth, Andre Johnson, and Reggie Wayne.
Okay.
We put up the criteria to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. You must receive 20% of the votes.
Okay.
And a quick recap of some of the votes. There were, as the rest of them came in, if you've been listening to the show, we had a few more coming in. The two guys that had not received any votes still did not receive any votes. There was only two guys that did not receive a vote, and that was O.J. Simpson and Jim Taylor.
So O.J. Simpson, clearly a victim of his post-career, I would have to say.
Yeah, no doubt. And quite frankly, he was down a little bit in scoring. He played on some really rotten Buffalo teams.
Yeah.
But, and we won't go completely through all the rankings. However, some of the guys that received, that was fairly reasonable. I mean, there were some guys that only got one vote and so forth. Some of the surprises that maybe only got one vote,
Okay, let's see. Well, John Riggins got one vote. Didn't really surprise me there. One that was a little low that I thought, Eric Dickerson only got three votes.
Yeah, yeah, you think.
A little low what I thought. Reggie Wayne only got one.
I think with Marvin Harrison being in the inaugural class, they decided it's too early to let
his
number two in.
I don't disagree with him. I voted. You voted. I did not vote for him.
True.
Kurt Warner got one. You know, he threw a lot of picks. His career was a little short comparatively to some of the other quarterbacks. That's not real surprising. Some of the other stronger vote-getters that did not make it, Curtis Martin got quite a few votes.
I agree with that.
Brett Favre.
Obviously. He's got to get in eventually.
Dan Marino. Well, you can come up three times. You don't make it third time, you're out, pal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have, like, a veterans committee or anything to let them in later? Or you're just done. You're dead to us.
I'm it.
You are.
But
better.
Anyway, we have three guys.
Okay, three guys. Let's elect one, Rick. We can't keep them waiting any longer.
Okay, the very first one to be inducted. Shall we go from lowest, it was like third place getter, to first?
Yeah, let's let them know where they stand.
All right, okay, this guy got the third amount of votes, the third most votes. And he was one that Rick railed on, you know, thought he was hands down to go in.
And I'm still very passionate about it.
And this guy, if he started his whole career, I don't know what numbers he'd have put up, but for a career that he had that really wasn't super long, but it was certainly very productive, their next inductee is Priest Holmes.
Congratulations, Priest. Rick, I have no doubt in everything you said, all the arguments against him, don't make up for the fact, for me, I know it was only a 2 or 3 year stretch, but over that 2 or 3 years, you're going to be hard-pressed from a fantasy perspective to find anybody who's done what Priest Holmes has done and done what he did for fantasy owners' teams over a two-year stretch. In 2002, 1,600 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 70 receptions, got in the end zone 21 times, 672 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns that way, 24 touchdowns, 2,200 total yards. And if you were way ahead of the curve in 2002 and playing PPR, a running back with 70 grabs, yeah, he won you a fantasy championship single-handedly.
Yes, he did.
And this is a guy in 2002 you drafted late. So you want to talk about a value. This guy went late. He was not considered a stud in 2002.
And, you know, the rest, as we say, is history. I mean, we all know about it, some of those crazy years that he had. There's no doubt about it.
Go to the next year in 2003. The guy got in the end zone 27 times. 27 times. Just huge. Another 70-some-odd receptions. His rushing yards dropped down to 1,400 yards. But for a two-year stretch there, just dominant. And then, unfortunately, like many big backs, the injuries got to him. Here's something you don't know, Rick. In 1998, his rookie year, in 1998 played all 16 games, very limited role and still managed to get 1,000 yards, then sort of languished on the bench while Jamal Lewis was doing his thing there in Baltimore until he gets to Kansas City. I know it was only a 2 or 3 year stretch, but I have no issue with Priest Holmes. I know he got one of my votes. No question Priest Holmes belongs in there. Belongs in there, especially in terms of a fantasy football Hall of Fame.
Yes, I agree 100%, and that's why he is in the only fantasy football Hall of Fame.
That's
the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame.
Can be found at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Yes, indeed. All right, our second most vote getter. Vote receiver.
That doesn't sound any better.
Our player receiving the second most votes.
There we go.
Yeah, that is. That's just, you just can't use that as a noun.
No,
you
know, it just doesn't sound right.
But our second player and inductee to get the second most votes and the second one to be inducted tonight is, he's still playing. The guy's a machine. We've been talking about him, and you know, he's won 3 Super Bowls. He's lost a couple other ones. He's been there. He's always there. The guy is cool under fire. Tom Brady.
All right. Unfortunately, the audience all went to the bathroom, so we'll
That was pathetic.
Yeah, it was, admittedly. But, yeah, how do you argue against it? Some of the, you know, what quarterbacks do we have in? Peyton Manning, Drew Brees goes in. He's right there with these guys. Interesting, it's the modern quarterback making this Hall of Fame when you're starting to talk fantasy football. Now, unfortunately, in signing in his new deal and working everything out with Wes Welker, Tom Brady couldn't be here with us today. Fortunately, much better news for us here at the asylum. Mrs. Tom Brady, Giselle, came in. And
really?
She was, yes.
I wondered who that was.
And she's going to say a few words on behalf of her husband, Tom.
Well, hold on.
Giselle, come on up.
Get to the mic here.
Come on up. All right, that was a bust. Giselle went away, so
yeah,
never
way
mind.
To go. Yeah, listen to you.
Oh, yeah, now she's talking. Now she's got lots to say. This is not going according to plan.
Well, we don't want to hear what she has to say now.
So you talk about Tom Brady while I try.
I'm not
to
talking about
we,
Tom Brady. We're going to the...
Oh, we're moving right on.
We are moving
all
on,
right, that's what we do, moving on. Congratulations, Tom Brady.
Yes, indeed.
Giselle, thanks for nothing.
Exactly. Now, this guy does not surprise me for getting the most votes in our ballot.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can you say? He's got multiple records receiving. We all know who he is. Played for 49ers. You know, Jerry Rice.
Absolutely. Jerry Rice, if anybody belongs in any type of Hall of Fame, I don't care what Hall of Fame it is, Jerry Rice belongs there. You look at the numbers, owns every record as a wide receiver. Interesting when you look at it year by year, though. The guys today are putting up bigger numbers, but in terms of consistency, what he did, and frankly, just being the best that ever played the position, Jerry Rice certainly deserves to be in there. And, of course, we say all these glowing words because we do, in fact, have Jerry Rice here in studio, and he would like to give an acceptance speech.
Yeah. I mean,
Mr.
Oh, he's talking now. Okay. Come on up, Jerry.
Maybe he's not going to
talk. I don't know. I mean, I let Fligger.
Here we go. Be quiet. You make faces if Jerry Rice is inducted. Your Hall of Fame.
Shaking his hand.
Congratulations, Mr. Rice. Congratulations. Please, take the microphone.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime.
You're welcome, yeah.
You earned it.
We're running out.
Well, hey, guys.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
We're running out of time, Jerry. Thank come on.
We only got 6 minutes left. Come on.
Jerry, come on.
I have something I have to admit to.
Oh, we're waiting on it.
Okay.
My uniform, the way I dress is everything. And I'm a very honest guy. I made a mistake today. I have a blue and a black sock on today.
All right, Jerry, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It has nothing to do with fantasy, okay?
For me to do this speech.
Oh, okay, hold on.
I need to borrow a black sock from someone.
All right, I'll give you a sock. Will you go on with the speech?
Just joking, guys.
All right, that's enough, Jerry. All right, congratulations. Go have a seat. Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame.
That was pathetic.
What?
What a speech.
It was.
You expect something much more from a Hall of Famer.
I think he probably had more, but we only got 6 minutes left in the show. We spent a lot of time talking about Rashard Mendenhall tonight, so there was just no room for Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
But we congratulate the 2013 class. They will be up on the site by the weekend, I promise you. Get their bust in. And we have one more category, Rick, we don't want to skip over, something we included last year,
that's our
1 year wonder category.
Yes, indeed. And
just so you know, we're going to run over a little bit, but that's okay.
We have two nominees for this year, for the 1 year wonder. If you recall, if you've checked it out, Rich Gannon is the first inductee.
And I think the easiest decision we've ever made in inducting a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was really no debate there. But we have our nominees for 1 year wonder
certainly
are Steve Slayton
in 2008.
2008 and Steve Beuerlein.
I believe that was 1999
with
the Carolina Panthers. Yes. Yeah. So in looking at the numbers, Rick, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my vote. If we agree, we agree. If not, we'll debate it out real quick. So this could be real fast and easy.
Let's give them the numbers
first. Steve Slayton in 2008, a virtual unknown, probably wasn't drafted. If he was drafted, it was late. 1,282 yards, 9 touchdowns. It wasn't great. It wasn't the greatest year ever by a running back, but from somebody you'd never heard of, fantastic. also threw in 50 catches for 372 yards and a touchdown. Now, flip that in 2009, why is he a one-year wonder? It's also in a starting role, managed to run for 437 yards and three touchdowns. So, as a virtual unknown, as a one-year wonder, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, in order to be considered for this category, you basically have to stink the entire rest of your career. And I say 2009 was so stinkerific, it makes 2008 look like one of the best fantasy seasons ever. Now, Steve Beuerlein, a better NFL career overall, but in 1999, out of the blue on a Carolina team that really came out of the blue, 4,436 yards, 36 touchdowns, 15 picks, and then I wrote rushed for two touchdowns, basically, average, just a huge, a monster year out of a journeyman guy. Tough call. I'm going to let you vote first.
Okay, and, you know, Steve Slayton was picked up off the waiver wire. There's no question about
almost
that
undoubtedly.
Year. Steve Beuerlein was maybe drafted as a bench warmer on your team.
Maybe a number
maybe.
Two. Maybe
yeah,
a number
I'm
two.
Just saying maybe. The next year, both of them probably killed their share of fantasy teams.
Well, certainly. In fact, we remember a certain friend of ours. He likes to hear his name on the show. Certain Ben Tinelli drafted him. Was it third overall he drafted?
Fifth, I believe it was.
Steve Slayton in 2009.
Yeah,
and I told you
overall.
What his stats were in 2009.
Yes.
So that's why my heart tends to go with Steve Slayton, just for that reason, because it buried Mr. Tinelli.
Mine is going – as much as Steve Beuerlein, I think, deserves it with that, I mean, a 36 touchdown. Over 4,000 yards.
On basically an expansion team.
I still have to give it to Steve Slayton because a running back – you know, you find value like that at running back that explodes for, I believe it was 275 or 76 fantasy points that
mm-hmm.
year. That wins you leagues. And we all, maybe it's kind of discriminatory, but we already do have a quarterback
there. That's true.
My vote's going to Steve Slayton.
I'll tell you what, as much as it kills me, you know I hate to do it. I agree with you 100%. Again, Steve Beuerlein maybe wasn't fantasy relevant, but it was NFL relevant. You didn't know who Slayton was going into that unless you watched Big East football, watched him run a little bit at West Virginia. This kid exploded on the scene, come out of nowhere. And like I said, for me then, what really sells it for me is he has stunk on ice ever
exactly.
since.
Exactly.
And that's what really makes him candidate for this award.
And I actually
this
had
prestigious award.
Yes, very prestigious, there's no doubt about it. I actually did have Steve Beuerlein that year. He was one of these, probably a 13th round pick. I had Mark Brunell as my starter, thinking, okay, with Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCardell, Fred Taylor, this is going to be super potent quarterback. I started Beuerlein probably from about week five on.
Yeah, it usually takes you
and
4 or 5 weeks
to
believe
it. Really believe
to start
it.
To buy in, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he got me to the playoffs. I did lose, I think it was like semifinals, but, you know, if I had relied on Brunell's 20 touchdowns, you know, and 11 picks, I probably wouldn't have done anything.
The year would have gone very differently, no question about it. So congratulations to all the members of the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame class of 2013. Certainly up for debate. Don't like it. Somebody you feel slighted. Any players that were slighted, if you're upset, at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. And start to put your word in next year. And the heat's on these guys, this new rule that you dreamt up.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Three times and you're out rule.
That's it, pal. That's, well, see, the first year doesn't count.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
we just kind of picked from the whole
picked,
history.
Yeah.
Now we have voters. We have a panel of votes.
That's true. A noted panel of voters.
Yes, indeed.
A veritable who's who of the fantasy football world.
Yes, I would read them off. But there's so many of them, I do not want to slight anyone, so I will not do that.
We certainly don't want to be slighting people.
No,
so.
We
all right, Rick,
that.
We're already running over, but I know you worked hard on an education minute or a little game or whatever you came up with this week. So I say to hell with it. Let's run over and let's hear it.
All right, this is just a quick little game. We're going to play Who Am I?
Okay, I'm not very good at this.
And I'm the who, and you're going to guess who I am.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I'm going to give you few little clues as we go on, and
Captain
you see
Kangaroo.
See if you can piece it together.
Okay, but probably not, but we'll try.
All right. His father, okay, we'll start off, just give you a time frame. He was born in 1902. Okay. His father was a jeweler.
Okay. His father was a jeweler, born the same year as you. Okay.
As a child, his arm was burned by acid that his father used that in the jewelry shop to test gold. He actually thought it was a glass of water or pop or something and went to drink it, and his father knocked it out of his hand, and the acid went over his arm.
Johnny on the spot, his father.
Burned it quite badly.
Okay.
Okay. I guess you don't know who it is yet.
No. Can I have a genre?
What do you mean, a genre?
Sport.
I mean,
sport. Politics, music,
show business.
That's sort of nebulous.
Yes. Well,
okay.
He was given violin lessons as a child to help strengthen his arm back up because, you know, it had really gotten damaged, apparently.
Okay.
He became so proficient with the instrument, his parents were going to send him to a European conservatory to study.
Okay.
However, World War One ended that dream.
That'll do it.
Okay. So, you still don't know who it is. To further strengthen his arm, he took up boxing.
Okay.
He worked up through amateur ranks, actually made it to the pros, had one professional fight, and won.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. However, his first love was show business.
All right.
Got into vaudeville.
Vaudeville.
Yes.
All right.
You know, played violin.
Is that like when the
comedian,
when the women
dancing,
dress in corsets and stuff? Is that
all
vaudeville?
All kinds of things. You know, the old George Burns way back when and everything.
George Burns. I'm going to guess him.
No, I wouldn't have brought him up. Anyway,
Bob Hope.
He met two men named Ted Healy
and
Morris Horowitz.
What a terrible name. I wonder what religion Mr. Horowitz was. Not that that matters about
They
anything.
Invited him into their group, making this group three and not two of funny men called...
A group of three funny men.
Yes.
I couldn't be more stumped, Rick.
Okay, I will give you one more clue.
All right.
Morris Horowitz is probably better known as Mo.
So that's Mo. So it's one of the Stooges. So it's the Three Stooges.
Yes, Larry Fine.
Larry was a noted violinist, huh?
Yes, he was.
That's a good education.
And
minute,
he was a
Rick.
Professional boxer.
There's probably other old guys like you who knew it real early on and are really excited right now.
Well, I was a sparring partner, so.
Somehow I believe that. Your hair is very similar. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about that.
All right. Well, I don't know if this is a good show or not, Rick, but we sure accomplished a lot. Wrapped up everything in the fantasy football world.
A lot of fun.
Got the new Hall of Fame class in. Got to hear from Jerry Rice. Unfortunately, Giselle had to run. She's meeting up with Wes Welker's wife. They had to talk some things out, apparently. Priest Holmes, Tom Brady, who's the other one we put in? Jerry Rice, congratulations.
And one thing, you know, Jerry, you know, if we ever call you to come in and maybe to induct somebody, you know, have a speech that is
prepared,
focused.
Yeah,
you know,
not talking about soft. I mean,
listen
to us,
that.
Professional broadcasters, the way we hone in and we focus on our craft, clear, concise points, paying attention, Jerry. That's what you're going to want to do.
That's exactly
but
right.
But we certainly thank you for making the drive from San Francisco here to the cozy bunker basement studio. You know, enjoying the fireplace, having a good time, having a glass of wine and a 99 cent cigar, because that's how we roll in the big time here in Grove City, Pennsylvania. So, Rick, let's get out of here. Coming up on show number 99, I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about, but all I know is it's going to be a good time.
Yes, indeed. And our 100th show is coming up in 2 weeks. We have Shane the Master Hallam coming in. We're going to branch out a little bit and talk a little dynasty.
Absolutely. So if you're a redraft player and if you're listening to this show, you probably are. We're going to learn you on dynasty. I know we got a lot to learn, and nobody better in the business than Mr. Hallam to teach you that.
That's right. So, you know, keep tuning in. I mean, we're getting closer to NFL draft and then training camp right around the corner.
Absolutely. AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Blog Talk Radio and 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock. Until next Tuesday on the Blitz, we'll see you.
Take care. Yeah.
PC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the girls? I call them up. A little thug and draw some haze trouble. What's up? It's going down tonight. Now they're pulling up. Got a jacked up truck, slap covered in mud. Give me